Grover Beach City Council slash Improvement Agency of Thursday, June 3rd, will be called to order, please. Could we have roll call?
Here. Here.
Here. Public communications, any member of the public may address the council agency slash agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item described in this agenda. The council slash agency will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act. The council slash agency cannot act on any items not on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak on anything that's not on the agenda?
Mayor and City Council members, Kathy Petker, Recreation Manager. Wanted to make a few announcements for some special events we have this weekend and for all those of you in the audience also. On Friday night, we have the Shooting Stars year-end recital, and the theme is Up and Away. It will be Friday at 7 p.m. at the Grover Beach Community Center. Also on Saturday, actually, we have the Monster Skate Park Contest, and that will be at the skate park, and that will be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Come on down and watch all the neat tricks the kids and adults do. We also have on Saturday, late afternoon, 4:30 to 8:30, the Sizzling Summer Concert. And this Saturday's concert band will be the Bloody Lovelies and the Bennett Kelly Project. Great family bands, dance bands. Come on down and enjoy this community concert. And then on Sunday is our annual Spring Garden Tour and Plant Exchange. So that will be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. We will be showcasing four beautiful gardens in Grover Beach and also have the plant exchange at Mayor Santos's house at 850 Atlantic City Avenue. And if anyone has any questions, they can call the Parks and Recreation Office at 473-4580. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that has anything that's not on this agenda? Seeing none, we're going to go into closed session. Conference with labor negotiator pursuant to government code section 54957-6, city manager, unrepresented employee group, executive management.
For 5 minutes.
Commentary and the letter to the editor from two Grove Beach residents regarding the budget in Wednesday's TPR.
Yes, I did.
Okay, and one of the reasons, folks, is why I'm doing this is because this not only affects us, the council, but it affects our staff. When these articles are written, there's people that work here a lot of long hours. It affects all of us. So I want the facts to be straight and to be honest. Were there any inaccuracies close in this information presented?
Were there inaccuracy?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Could you tell me what those were?
Well, there were quite a number of inaccuracies. Virtually every statement was either inaccurate or was drawing conclusions that were not consistent with the facts. One example would be a reference to the improvements to the Lopez Dam, the remediation project, that was somehow going to be funded through the property tax rate and that was already incorporated in the property tax rate and that it was also already incorporated in the water user fee rate, and that's just totally inaccurate.
Thank you. Are there conclusions drawn by the are the conclusions drawn by the authors consistent with the facts? I personally reading it, I did not find that true, and I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, it very rarely were the conclusions that were drawn consistent with the facts. In many cases, the facts were misstated or didn't have anything to do with the conclusions.
Okay. Did either of the authors come to City Hall to confer with either you or Ms. Chapman about the details of the budget as they were asked to do by the City Council? And I personally asked if you'd like to make an appointment with either one of you, that I personally would be glad to come in and be there. Did this happen?
No, it did not.
Okay. Has Mr. Ashton delivered any copies, the six issues that have been from the Grover Beach Advocate, and I think Mr. Arnoldson precluded to that earlier in this week's meetings, as he has twice committed to do in the council meetings. Have we ever received those?
No.
And did you remind him in writing of this commitment?
I sent him two letters at council direction, and then again when earlier this week I sent him another letter reminding that last week he had made that commitment in council meeting.
Okay, thank you. I think one of the things, City Council Improvement Agency, the proposed FY budget. And how do we want to handle this?
Mayor, the council has heard all of the presentations from the various department directors, staff members, and so on. We have assembled some information, big picture and other kinds of things that we can share if you'd like, or if you would like to have individual council members go over their lists of ideas and concerns, that would be helpful for staff to get that. And we also, I suppose, ought to be mindful of the fact that one council member is not here. And so if you did not get to a place where you're prepared to adopt the budget in concept tonight so that we could prepare the resolutions as planned for the 21st, for the regular council meeting the 21st, what we could do is come back to the council on the same night that you have already a public hearing scheduled to consider the master fee schedule amendment and perhaps look at adopting the budget in concept after that hearing is held and after you've had an opportunity to do that. That would still give us enough time to prepare the resolutions to have before you by the 21st of June.
Is that pretty much in agreement with all of us? We can go as far as we can, because I think it's only fair that we have Councilmember Arnoldson here, and I know one of our council members has to leave tonight, so to try to make sure that we get everybody's items heard, that we make sure that this moves on to the 16th. Okay? So who wants to begin? Where do we begin?
Well, I have a question. The city manager said you had prepared a PowerPoint.
No. What? No.
Jake prepared one. No. Are you prepared for Jake?
I asked Jake to do that, but he was busy going over his. I have a few pieces of paper that we can hand out to you, and they could be projected on the wall for the folks in the audience if you wanted to go over a few bit. I can go over and tell you what they are. One of them is a chart that compares appropriations for operating expenditures and non-operating expenditures from 1 year to the next. Apparently, in reading the newspaper, there were some misunderstandings about how the big picture budget works, and that might help clarify that. I have one that just shows the changes in that are proposed by department for full-time positions. I've got one that shows the kind of a history of the local street paving expenditures and what would be included in the budget document. I have one that shows there were some issues with regard to consultant studies and how much was actually appropriated for that. I've got a table on that that I could walk you through. And then Gayla had prepared your request, a couple of page table.
Thank you.
So can you do this in 5 minutes?
Well, if nobody asks any questions. No, I sure. Okay, the first chart is just a big picture looking at the budget amounts that the council approved in fiscal 03, last year in fiscal 04, and what is recommended to the city council this year for the general fund, for all city funds, and then the city and agency together. And as you can see in this chart, the area that I wanted to focus in on primarily is the column which is the change between FY04 and FY05, the second to last column. And what it shows basically is that the general fund, in terms of appropriations as recommended, is down 5% from the current year budget. The all city funds number is down 10% from the current city budget. And the city plus agency total is down 9.1% from the current city budget. It's true that if you compare over a two-year period from fiscal 03 to fiscal 05, the general fund would be up 15.8%. But that's because in the difference between 03 and 04 was up nearly 22%, for example. So, you know, in a big picture sense, the general fund is down 5%. All city funds are down 10%. And all city plus agency is down 9.1%.
And these 05 numbers are including the fire department changes.
That's correct. The next table is showing all of the full-time staffing and comparing the current year budget as amended with the recommended budget. The overall increase would be 3. And again, recognizing that the net increase in the fire department would be a total of 6 positions. But when you go down and look at each of the departments, essentially the city management department is pretty much where it was. Administrative services is pretty much where it was. And the improvement agency would be down 3/4 of a position, and it's spread around. So again, these are authorized positions. They're the change. Now the last column is the 2 vacancies that currently exist that haven't been addressed elsewhere, and not addressing the fact that new additional positions are vacant. So if there was interest in further reductions of positions, in order to do that and not to lose people of the existing positions, those would be the 2 that would be available. Are there any questions on that?
I guess I had one, if nobody else did. Community development, forgive me, I'm missing something. You're losing a maintenance worker position and a half-time building maintenance person. And you're adding a project manager and a half-time planning manager. That's a wash. How did you lose?
Yeah, we're not adding a planning manager. Planning manager is a reduction from the assistant community development director.
You're just reclassifying.
Yeah.
But
right.
You're losing 1.5 and you're adding 1. How can we be 1.59 down from that?
Part of it is that there is an authorized building official position in the current amended that we were filling by contract.
Okay.
Okay, I can't stand it. I have a question.
Okay.
You showed additional vacancies, and you're calling out a recreation coordinator and a police officer. Now, if I'm doing some foreshadowing, if you were given a direction regarding jobs and elimination of positions, are you advocating a recreational coordinator? And if you are, I would like to I know I don't want to put the recreation parks manager on the spot, but I'm looking at that, and it's screaming out to me that if push comes to shove, you would be looking at eliminating a recreation coordinator position when the group has come forward and showed some fee increases that would more than offset that particular position?
Absolutely not. I recommended a budget to council that I think is responsive to the goals that the council set, that are consistent with the financial policies that the council has adopted, and I stand by my recommendation.
Okay.
I'm just identifying that there are two vacancies that have not been addressed as other vacancies have been in the budget. And if you were trying to find money, I definitely wouldn't be recommending eliminating the recreation coordinator position, because the position is offset substantially by user fees. With regard to the police officer position, that is primarily a general funded position, and if you were looking for money in the general fund, that would be one way to do it, but that wouldn't be my recommendation. My recommendation is the budget wanted that number to be $300,000 of general fund money, or whether you wanted it to be some percentage of the general fund. And what this chart basically does is updates the last two columns by, instead of showing the FY04 amended, rather showing the estimated for the current year as well as the recommended amount for next year. And as you can see, the recommended amount for next year is a combination of $210,000 of general fund money and other amounts that add up to about twice that much at $420,000. There's also an additional $80,000 of water money that would be appropriated if the budget were approved, that would allow us to be able to upgrade the water system in the streets that are being repaired, so that we don't come back at some point and tear up a brand new street just to fix a water main. But again, if the council were looking for money or looking for money in the general fund, the minimum maintenance of effort commitment that we have is $180,000. So you could get $30,000 of general fund money by reducing that $210,000 down to $180,000 to meet the maintenance of effort. That still would allow you to be appropriating $390,000, again, in excess of the previous policy of $300,000 from all sources, at least as the way it has been administered over the years. Be happy to answer any questions about that.
On the street, of all the streets that we've done, all the street work we've done, and I don't know if this is for Mr. Ford, how much of that had we had to repair as far as the pipes, in my opinion?
Honorable Mayor, City Council, I would put an estimate of about 5% of the streets that have been done to this point required new water mains, fire hydrants, new services. So to this point, probably around 5%.
Okay, and as we go along with improving our streets, do you think that will increase some?
As we move into the northwest section of the city more, we will have more water-related improvements required.
Do you feel that we put enough in there for that purpose? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but...
It's been adequate. Yes, and as we put together the five-year capital improvement project list, and we will start looking at the streets that we hope to put on that so that we can tell people you're 2 years off, you're 5 years off, we will know which ones will need the water work, and we will be able to, you know, put that into the next year's budget or even look at it 2 to 3 years in advance.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Ekblom, do you have a question?
Oh, maybe one of Mike. Mike, when you're repairing the water mains, that
show you is the requests that the department directors have made that they submit to me and Gail as we're building the budget. And it shows the status of that request, where the request was something other than my recommendation to you that we fund what that request was. And so instead of going through a couple of hundred pages in the budget document, we've pulled that out and given it to you summarized in 2 pages or page and a half, whatever. If you want to go over this, fine. It's just basically a pretty low level of detail.
No, I just want to say I appreciate you providing this for us. You don't need to go over it. It's pretty straightforward.
There's one other. The last one would be responsive to a comment that was in one of the letters to the editor about the cost of consulting services, and this would be more accurate information. There was reference to the pages in the budget document where these particular special activities were listed, and the writer of the letter failed to remove from these costs debt service, which has absolutely nothing to do with consultants. It's paying off debt, and because no one came and asked, they weren't able to figure out that some of these costs were new costs and some were rebudgeted. So basically, when you look at the last two columns in the document, you'll see that the money that's recommended in this year's budget is $169,800 of rebudget from the current year and $56,000 of new money, and not the $400,000 or whatever was quoted in that article. It's nowhere near the numbers, because apparently they counted debt service as opposed to consultant activities. Any questions?
Councilmember Ekblom?
If you're going to separate them like that, is there a way to very briefly talk about which one of these are almost mandated by the state to update different elements of our general plan or something? I mean,
exactly. The 119.8 is a combination of the land use element, circulation element, recreation element, things like that, that are all elements in the general plan that are outdated and obviously need to be updated. The fiscal analyses relate to the user fees.
These are all mandated by the state that we have to update. We cannot do them in-house. And even the fee structure, we're not able to do it in-house. And we want to make it sure that it is done correctly, because it impacts all of our citizens. It's the new fees that they will be asked to pay, and we want to make sure that they are fair. And
It's the classification and compensation study that we're required to do because of our agreement with SEIU.
Hmm. Well, we're going to be talking about that one. But anyway, okay, my point was these aren't just some things. We have some wild ideas, and we want to ask some consultant, should we do it or not? These are mandated by the state that we are required to perform. Thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Schultz?
No, I have nothing.
Councilmember Lieberman.
I just can't help but have a comment on this, and it goes to all the work that staff put into these supporting schedules, and I'm disappointed that staff put time into compiling these numbers in response to letters to the editor, and that's the only disappointment I have with staff. I mean, if these individuals choose to pursue their First Amendment rights and write these letters to the newspaper, I support them completely. When they misstate numbers and make inaccurate observations, I try not to let it stick to me and realize that's part of the job that we signed on for. And I would hope that we would – trying to say this diplomatically, but I'm not going to. I don't want to give them the benefit of responding to this. I'm very confident in the ability of staff to present these numbers. I'm very confident in how I discuss numbers that you alluded to in the article. And if those people choose not to listen or to misrepresent the numbers, that's their business. And I'm not worried about it. That's it. Thanks.
Okay. That's well stated, Councilman Lieberman, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay. Where would you like to go from here? Do we want to go?
See if he has some comments. I would say we take take some time, a couple of minutes, and if you have some direction to give staff.
Suggestions?
For the entire budget?
Yeah, where do we want?
I would think that Steve has to leave in 15 minutes. We better let him go through his stuff. And I don't know if we have to adjourn at 7:30. But
yeah, I was.
I see him. Leave you
he's
here.
Feverishly writing over there, so let him go.
Hand them to someone. Yeah.
But he's the one that has the time problem here. So.
Okay, and I apologize for that. It's just it's a work commitment that I have. Mayor, if you'd like me to, I could go through my list and...
That would be fine, sir.
Okay. Where do I start? The first place I'll start, and again, this is... I'm just positioning this. This is where I am right now in my deliberations and things that are concerning me, maybe precluding me from approving the budget as presented right now. And I'd like just to be entered in the record and share it with everyone, share it with staff, and pick it up next week. The first place I'll start in for lack of a better phrase, I'll call them fee enhancements that are in the 05 budget. And as everyone should know, I was very concerned in last year's budget that we were going to make the numbers that were projected, and we did have a major shortfall of making those numbers. So the building position that's now being filled by a contract individual, I feel that if we're filling a position by contract, we shouldn't be counting this as a permanent headcount position. I mean, we are providing the service of a full-time employee with a contract employee, and I think that's the way we need to look at it. We do have a building official. Planning manager, Jake, I had asked you some pointed questions in the last go-around, planning manager versus project manager, and you did make a commitment as to what your priority was, and I appreciate that. When I left the meeting and I considered it, I started thinking about comments both you and Ron have made that evening and made in the past about your concern that we needed to split public works operations from planning operations. And to me, that led me back to say, why wouldn't we have a planning manager? We have a public works superintendent. It seems as though we have the basic foundation to do exactly that. And so I'm still not convinced that that's the position that should go in support of the project manager. My notes were coming to me in pieces. Related to the superintendent position, now that we've said, well, we potentially have a manager for the planning part of the house, what about the public works part of the house? We do have a superintendent with years of experience here. I would hope that the superintendent be allowed to maintain a project management focus and leave day-to-day operations to the supervisor that's in the field with the crews. And, Mike, I don't want to put you on the spot again, but I really appreciated your straightforward and honest reply when D actually asked you a question last time, and it really made me think, are we doing the right thing by eliminating a maintenance worker? If we want Mike to step up and take more of an active project management position, I certainly would hope that he doesn't have to worry about his crews, that John and the crews can handle the workload they're given. Project manager position, this is probably the biggest one in community development that I'm having struggles with. And when we discussed it and we were asking questions last time, the IT implementation piece of a council goal was mentioned as a major component of this. And excuse me for reading this, but I don't want to miss anything. The thing that I'm considering with this is, you know, the IT migration is a huge project, but it's a one-time project. And then at that point, it would become a maintenance issue. And I'm assuming that contracting would be done for both of the majority segments of that. So once that project's out of the way, I go back to my comments from the other evening when I was looking at the components of project manager and say, I just can't see us filling that position at this time. Police. Given the comments when Chief Bradbury gave his presentation, I would ask that rather than a senior sergeant position be filled, that consideration be made that perhaps a fourth full-time, not acting sergeant, be added to cover the admin areas. And that just goes with the concerns that I stated that evening. And I think I'm almost done. You know, just to close my comments, and I appreciate the ability to do this, obviously staffing is something that's got my focus. And I know I'll be here for 6.5 minutes.
Okay. I just want to say, Steve, that this is one time I truly agree with you, and I'm so proud of Mr. Ford for being downright honest. And I know sometimes we put staff on the spot, but I really appreciate what those people do out there in the field. And that. So, with that, Councilmember Ekbom.
Okay. I suppose I'll just bounce around, too. There aren't any real order. I have a number of concerns that... one of them keeps coming back to the CBDG funding. I understand that it's apparently legal to do it, but I see us as a city using that as more of a ongoing cash cow for the city. Every year we start doing more capital improvement projects or other projects that would be funded out of our general fund out of this, and now we're slipping over into municipal services costs out of that. And we already are using a substantial amount of redevelopment funding to subsidize our municipal services, and now we're coming into CBDG. It looks like we're just looking for other ways to fund more staff. I understand the level of total employees. Nice to see that chart. I didn't believe that there was a net reduction in total employees. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But this project manager issue is one that I'm struggling with, and I was wondering if it was a position that was proposed to retain somebody in our city that's been serving very well in a number of capacities. I've been assured that that is not the case, that it is kind of a position that fills a lot of different needs. It looks like a lot of it is coming out of the accounting, whether it's managing the funding or the CBDG or the other grant fundings or some of the budget work or some of our technical assistance programs like Steve was talking about. I'm trying to be very supportive of our city. I think we're making a huge jump with our economic development coordinator. We're trying to make this leap into a more successful city. We now have redevelopment funding. We need to start doing something with it. We need to provide enough staff so that we can have them be able to concentrate on our future and what we need to be doing, rather than always being two blocks behind the horse or something. So I think I'm going to come out in favor of that project manager position. I'm surprised you with your logic there. I think it's not a very necessary issue. The I'm really upset over this salary compensation study, $25,000 study that is going to be used only as a negotiating tool for our city. I don't think it will serve any other purpose, and it's very expensive, $25,000. If it provides information that is beneficial to both sides, or one side of the negotiating party, the other side will just discount it. They'll say it's biased, or it's we don't want to talk about that one or something. So I'm not sure of the value of it when both sides don't buy in on it. I don't know where we are at in that when we have already agreed to provide this service. Maybe there's a way to sell this information to the other cities in this county, because we're going to be gathering data from all of them. They might like to see the same comparisons. But I question the value of it, and perhaps the danger of it backfiring. Financial advisor for the improvement agency is $29,000. I didn't quite understand if we need that. Is that mandated by the agreement? And if it's only to look at how to fund the rollover in 2006, it looks like we're a year early. So I'm wondering why we're spending that this year. It's in two separate. It's allocated $11,000 in redevelopment area one and $18,900 in redevelopment two. So it's about $30,000.
Mayor, if you'd like, I could explain the reasoning on that. We're the earliest that we can take out the loan or the notes is December of this calendar year. And as you know, we're in a period of historically very low interest rates, and there's projections that the rates will go up because the economy is heating up, and that's that kind of monetary policy is one way for the federal government to control inflation by increasing the cost of money through the discount rate. So it's entirely possible that the best window of opportunity that we would have would be somewhere around December in order to take the notes out at the lowest possible interest rate. And all we're trying to do is be able to position the agency to be able to do that if it looks like that's the right thing to do at that point in time.
So this will not be repeated next year again? We won't need that same $30,000 for an...
Okay. It's just, okay. Whether we do it this year, okay. If we don't do it this year, then, yeah, we would need to do it next year.
Okay. The police department senior sergeant time on those programs, and the chamber offered to take them over for very little money and using a lot of volunteers, and we were very glad to let them accept that responsibility. Now we're taking it back. We haven't really reduced the funding for the chamber, and our parks department said, well, it's really not very much of a impact to us, but I think it's going to turn out to be a huge impact on our staff. And we just last year we got a second recreation coordinator position because we needed it. Now we're taking on an awful lot more load, I think, without any more employees, and And I think that one's going to backfire on us. According to my notes, I think that's all I had my concerns for.
Mayor, if I could just respond to one of, and perhaps allay part of your concern. One of the aspects or one of the byproducts of the classification compensation plan study would be to update our job specs, in effect, which have not been updated for the most part since the early 90s. So we haven't had a class and comp study, and that's part of what would be one of the byproducts of that kind of a study. The other byproduct, as you mentioned, with regard to negotiations is to be able to have a common understanding that makes some sense with regard to what is the total compensation, what's the total cost per agency for the various kinds of bargain agreements, and then further factor in the ability of each organization to pay for whatever compensation they would be providing. And that is often left out of the picture totally, and quite often the total comp is not the basis. Folks compare salary to salary, and we may have lower salaries because we have higher benefits, for example. And, you know, the bottom line is what it really costs the city in total compensation. So, yeah, it's a lot of money, and on the other hand, it is being spread to all of the funds where all of the employees are spread to. So it isn't just a hit on the general fund. It also goes to the water fund and sewer fund. And
I understand,
so
and I see some value in it, maybe not as much as you do, but I guess part of it is this ability to pay issue I think will be discounted if it shows that we're not able to pay more because we just found $300,000 for more firemen. I mean, that was huge for this city. It wasn't there last year, and we just dug it up. We found it. And so we have the ability to do things. Now, we don't spend it somewhere else. We don't make more money. We just redivide where it comes from. So that ability to pay, I don't think, is going to be accepted by any negotiators.
Well, I'm curious, a follow-up question on that is, you said part of this is to update the job specs. So is there something that we can do that's not at that amount, at $25,000, that would get us?
And so the byproduct of being able to figure that out is that we are assembling, or we are getting assembled the information that, in effect, updates our classification and compensation plan, all of the different job specs, all of the salary ranges, and so on. To not do that would mean that you wouldn't be able to make those comparisons. If we did it in-house, that would mean that we would have to, something else would not get done in order to do it, and it would still cost essentially the same amount.
Okay, I have a couple.
The one other thing to say is we have an estimated amount. We haven't gone out, done RFPs. We haven't gotten proposals from folks. You know, maybe it comes in at $18,000 or $23,000 or $13,000. We don't know for sure what that dollar amount would be. That would just be the authority to spend up to that much money.
I had, actually, found my note. One more thing. I was going to ask earlier in the day, but I did not. Where's the 05 payment for the fire engine? $50,000 a year, wasn't it?
Actually, it's special activities, I think.
I believe it's in the special activities.
It showed where there was $50,000 for 04, and I was wondering if it's because we didn't receive it till 05.
Special Activities, page S-153.
And it's already listed there. So. Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
you like me to go?
Yes. Mayor Pro Tem Schultz.
Yeah. I'm not going to belabor this. I have some probably some general statements, and hopefully we can talk about them as some policy direction. Dave, you had talked about the fire department. I stand by that decision. I think it was time that we step up to the plate and provide that basic life and safety service. So I don't have an issue with that. As I had said earlier, I had an issue with a net increase of full-time positions, because I think in this climate, even if someone did say yes, you just added six positions to the fire department, I feel I can justify that because that is a basic service. So I'm not going to micromanage and tell you what positions, well, I'm only going to micromanage a little, but I'm not going to tell you what positions that I think are necessary or not, you know, because philosophically, I believe this community development needs a planning manager more than a project manager, and I have little experience in the area. But when I have the director stand up here and tell me that the project manager is more important, then I'm going to have to respect that. But the general statement that I want to make is the part of the budget that's giving me the angst is the net increase in positions. I think we need to own up to we're partly, if not mostly, responsible for our staff members feeling maxed out. And when they ask us for positions to try and do the jobs we request, and I think it's paramount that we own up to that and we start to look at maybe what goals should be a priority and which ones should be deferred until we get through the governor's budget cycle. And I had started to ask city managers this the other day, is there a way to put a dollar value, and I know the broad goals would be difficult, but on the activity so that we can sit here and argue amongst ourselves as to what is the priority and what can be deferred, because I think that's the only thing that is fair to this staff.
It would be difficult to put a dollar value on them other than, I suppose, to look at it in terms of perhaps the staffing that you're talking about, to say, you know, without a project manager, these are the kinds of things that are going to suffer, or without, you know, three police officers, these are the things that are going to suffer. If Parks and Rec is out of bounds, and if the fire department's out of bounds, then certainly the maintenance worker position, I guess the other way to look at it would be that we would have to contract for certain kinds of things that are just basic services. For example, the planning manager, we have a lot of projects that are coming about now, and not having a planning manager to do that and not having the project manager do that will cause us to fall way behind. So I think I'm kind of reeling from the concept that you would add six positions to the budget and say that we have to cut six positions in order to add those. That's a devastating concept. And that's will cut into fundamental basic services to do that, and we'd have to sit down and as a management team and figure out how to pull that off. And I guess my concern would be why we would do that if we're not trying to figure out how to save some money to spend it on something else. If we're just saying that we would want to do that because it doesn't look right, if that's what I'm hearing, that's hard for me to understand that, because we have proposed a budget that is in balance, it's fiscally responsible, it's consistent with your adopted financial plans, and in many cases, if we didn't have the staff, we would have to hire somebody on a consulting basis and would end up costing more and we'd have less control. So
well, let me ask you, this project manager position, isn't this something that you can bring on as, say, a one-year contract and fund? And I know Dave doesn't like the idea of CDBG, but isn't that a potential to do that and bring a player? We're trying to do a lot of development projects. The director, you're already telling me that he's already maxed out. So now, when he says, I'd rather have a project manager than a planning manager, something's not adding up in my mind, because I would think you'd want a planning manager on to help shepherd a lot of these projects through, if, and then contract with a project manager with to bring a lot of the back CDBG money, all that back, all the paperwork and all that forward to get us caught up.
When when I was asked the question, if I had to choose which one, and the answer was I would choose not to fill the planning manager's position from the organization, since the project manager is a real key person to process all the paperwork, to track payments, reimbursements, to comply with federal and state law. Mike does not have the time to do all that paperwork. He's out in the field. He's coordinating with the contractors. If I hear what I hear Councilman Lieberman say is, Mike, as the public works superintendent, should be taking on a lot of those tracking requirements in terms of paperwork and filing reports and reimbursements. I don't believe Mike has that time to do that, nor do I. What I was responding to is the current skills that we have in the department. I have a very strong planning background, and if I had to choose between the two, I would choose not to fill the planning manager, because I have that expertise that I can assist the existing staff in. Where I feel the city is really at risk and potential problems is failing to meet some kind of criteria or filing a report where we're missing some deadlines, where it's going to cost the city some money. That's where my biggest fear is. Currently, we're coming up with a DBE reporting on Oak Park. That's going to take a amount of time to prepare those kind of reports. In my mind, the project manager can be on top of that and start preparing that kind of report to ensure that we're meeting the requirements of that project. And what you may wish to do is, you know, is ask Mike if he has really all the time to do that paperwork that the project manager could assist us in. And I think Mike can give you a real clear indication how he is maxed out in terms of the things that he is doing, not only the water, the sewer, the storm drainage, but other day-to-day activities that he is involved in, that he does not have the time to do that kind of reporting. And so when I was asked that, if I had to take a choice, you know, my thought process in the organizational sense is the project manager is more important than the planning manager at this time. However, what we tried to present to the council during the budget session is that the planning manager is not going to cost the general fund monies. It is through the user fees. So I would hope this council would see the wisdom that since we're going to an enterprise fund, the planning manager has no impact upon the budget.
So that is that. Excuse me. That is definitely the assumption that we're going to an enterprise fund. Yes. And okay,
yeah. Walk and the traffic mitigation project with our money, and it's primarily general fund money that we are fronting that with. When we get reimbursed, then we are reimbursing ourselves. And as I mentioned earlier, on the boardwalk project, because neither Pismo nor Grover Beach have the staff to do it, we're paying $29,000 to GTA to do the paperwork for us that we could easily do with a project manager, for example. That's more than half the cost of the position. So my confusion, the thing I need help in order to try to respond to what the council is saying is, if you're saying we need to cut six positions because you're trying to free up money to do something, then that's one thing. If you're saying we need to cut six positions just so we have the same number of positions, that doesn't make any fiscal sense to me. We would be putting the city in jeopardy in many areas, clearly in public safety with regard to police, if we can't touch Parks and Rec, I mean, that would be an area that when you cut Parks and Rec, you potentially have an impact on police because folks are not productively employed. But the same kind of thing happens in the other direction. And so I need some more help to understand that.
Well, I guess I'm not tracking with you because according to your budget, you're only increasing a net of three. So I will say I think you've done a great job in taking the fire department and through obviously some reallocation and obviously some vacant positions in bringing it on board. And I guess I'm saying while I appreciate that, I think you obviously are getting a sense that a lot of this project manager position is giving a lot of people up here a lot of heartburn. Now, I understand what you're saying is, are we trying to cut it just to save money and spend it on something else? I think we're trying to cut it because the governor's budget hasn't been adopted. The initiative hasn't, his initiative as an alternative to the one that League of Cities in California, the counties and the special districts got qualified. We already know that that's qualified, but certainly there's going to be some short-term ramifications. And so I think in the back of some of our minds, or at least in the back of my mind, is, you know, I guess you the last time you said we're going to have $1.6 million in reserves. So I guess I'm trying to figure out a way to have my cake and eat it too, have my fire department and bank money for a rainy day because we still don't have a real good handle on what's coming down the pike.
Okay. And that's helpful. Cutting the project manager will not address that goal in any perceptible manner because there isn't any general fund money to speak of in that position.
I understand that, and that's why I was saying I wasn't going to tell you which ones to cut. I think what I'm looking for is you're showing a net of two full-time authorized positions, and so if we have to contract to bring something up to speed, I'm okay with that. I think that's what I'm saying, and I'm obviously only one vote.
Okay.
So that's where I'm coming from. We're kind of in the same book, at least maybe not the same page. The housing trust fund, there was the $5,000. I guess the question I had on that is if we buy into the housing trust fund and then we decide we don't want to, is that money we get back? How would that work?
My understanding is that it would be like an annual commitment. So if we said, you know, this didn't work out this year, we don't have to play again next year. We have the right to consult with staff, ask them questions, send them stuff to review, ask them to come to meetings, hook us up with potential money sources and so on. My understanding is that it's an annual commitment.
Okay. And Dave had mentioned the financial advisor earlier. And I was just curious because we had someone who came in and given us a presentation. And so I've been hearing and trying to do some study. Do we really need to have a financial advisor to tell us these things? Because from what I understand, you were hired because you were a financial wizard. So
Everything that person talked about, I was fully aware of before I started working here. That's not what a financial advisor does.
Okay.
And a financial advisor is part of a team that includes bond counsel and bond underwriter and broker and so on. And that so that person we were talking to is one of the elements of that kind of a team.
Okay. You know, I had a few more, but I think since we're going to have another meeting, I'd rather hold off and go down that list. It's a real detailed list of some items.
Good. And you have the opportunity to come in and talk with
Yes. Well, I was in his office the
Just
other
like
day.
Just like anybody else.
I was in his office the other day, and the city attorney called, so I didn't get to talk to him.
Because I, too, am going to make an appointment with Gayla to come in and ask some questions, if that's okay. I'm going to do mine a little different. I think I want to put K Kathy Pechter on the spot with Park and Rec. And I think an answer to maybe David's questions of how we're going to take care of the Dune Run Run and that, and because we were part of that committee and group, both Mayor Pro Tem Scholes and myself, and we discussed that thoroughly and how we're going to handle this, and it wasn't going to impact your department.
The Parks and Recreation Department has been working with volunteer groups. We anticipate the Dune Run Run to go very smooth. We already have volunteers. We have sponsors coming in. The Dune Run Run is until August. We're going to be working closely with the Chamber of Commerce. They've already we've already had meetings with them. They have about 20 volunteers that are going to help with that process also. So we feel comfortable with the Dune Run Run. We haven't started any pre-planning for the holiday parade. However, we're confident that we're going to have a good group of volunteers also for that and sponsorship committee.
Okay. And I just want to comment that the Chamber was asking the city for quite a bit more, and we decided that not to give more, that we could do that ourselves through volunteers and through Kathy's efforts. So honest.
Mayor, I should also point out that because of the kind of effort that we're talking about on the 16th and with the direction that you've given us, by adopting in concept the fee increases in Parks and Rec, that any reduction in staff there would be a corresponding reduction, not an equal, but a corresponding reduction in anticipated revenues. So at least half of a recreation coordinator position is covered through user fees to the extent that the council goes forward with adopting the master fee schedule amendment. Therefore, if you were to reduce that position, we would be cutting at least half of the cost of that position in terms of revenue enhancements or revenues that wouldn't come in the door. So that's part of the challenge that we have of trying to get to stasis with regard to staffing.
Okay, and that's part of the reason why this master fee study is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Could I say something before we leave?
Yes, sir.
Just on this whole concept. You know, we're elected from the public to represent them. They're the ones paying all these user fees. So I'll have an obligation to try and protect them from overpaying because we want a lot more staff. So that could be part of our concern. We understand the planning and the parks will be enterprise funds paid for by user fees by the public that we represent. Well, so if we're saying that we maybe don't need that many employees, that means that the fees might be less, which is the public, which is the ones we represent. So there is some correlation why we can challenge the need for more employees, just to say that, well, it's going to be paid by user fees, and so who cares? Well, we care.
I agree with you. Totally. The point I was trying to make is that, for example, in this year's budget, you added a position in Parks and Rec Department. And the reason why you added it in part was because we had done a survey, and the survey told us that 3/4 of the people out there said they didn't know that we had a significant program, and they were interested in the program. And 3/4 of the people said that they were willing to pay what we were charging or more in order to participate in the program. Part of being able to deliver the program is have the staff on board to do that. And part of the user fee exercise that we looked at was the fact that we have facilities that we were renting out at well below market rates that the general taxpayer was subsidizing, so somebody from Arroyo Grande or Dinuba could come over and have their wedding at Ramona Garden Park. And so part of how we get to being able to deliver better services to more people to achieve one of your primary goals of enhancing parks and rec kinds of services and cultural activities is to have the staff to deliver the program. And with regard to planning, by moving that into an enterprise mode, what we said was that the folks who are benefiting from getting those services are going to know that they're paying for those services, and further, that if we are overcharging them, that money stays in the fund. It doesn't stay in the general fund and help offset paying for police, fire, parks and rec, whatever. And the Blue Ribbon Committee went through quite a bit of effort before we even talked about fees in terms of how do we streamline the services that we're providing. They gave us great suggestions, and we've implemented those suggestions, and part of that has to do with how do we staff the function. And they're willing to pay for that level of staffing, and in fact, they're concerned right now that we don't have a planning manager, and they would like to have us fill that position as soon as possible. And they also, I think, are aware of the impact on the community development director and the department as a whole on some of the other activities that are have a residual impact on them. We have a very ambitious capital improvement program, and we aren't delivering the capital improvement program. And we aren't delivering it because we have to choose between do we process this building application or this project, or do we work on this this capital improvement program but not that capital improvement. We have a huge capital improvement program for a city this size and for a staff this size, and we want to be able to deliver it, and that's why the budget is recommended the way it is.
I think one of my eye-opening things was last year when I brought about the fees and being from out of the city, when I went to Arroyo Grande for my dog training, and I think that's when it got me, like, how come we're not charging like they are? So let's be fair and equal with the people who come and use our facilities from neighboring towns. So I think that was very important. My dog's doing well, too.
Mayor, I don't know if where you are going, whether you guys are getting ready to shut down for the evening or not. I know that there are some citizens here in the audience, and I don't know if you wanted to invite them to speak on any issues. There's one other issue that we heard some energy about or may have read about in the paper with regard to the redevelopment agency area that was newly formed, and whether that takes a year for that to come on board, and whether the state has to approve something or whatever. That agency area has been formed. It is official. We will be generating tax increment just as the budget indicates. And just wanted to assure you of that.
Thank you for clarifying it. Yes, I was, and I also needed to ask a question of Mr. Murray, who serves on the Blue Ribbon Committee. Yes, please. And I guess I'll put you on the spot, Mr.
Sure.
Murray. I know you were on the Blue Ribbon Committee, and how do you feel about the project manager? How important did you feel in your committee discussion?
Well, I think the message that was very clear and actually even surprised me from some of the other builders was they're definitely willing to pay for the service, but they want to see the service. They don't want to come up with more money, more fees, and then find out that they're still dealing with people that can't get to their plans, can't service them. I think you would create a lot of resentment if you took that approach, quite frankly.
Okay.
And then I did have public comments, too. I'll wait. Would that be appropriate to wait till that's
yeah,
open?
Yeah, I mean, the two guys have had their chance, and I'm trying to take mine right now.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
You're inviting people up.
I'm pulling a Steve this year.
Hey, you're running the show.
Thank you. Yeah, you'll do it next year, buddy. And then I had to agree with David in a sense. You know, we found money for six full-time people. That's a lot. And then some. And I know, David, that you're tight with the buck, but... I wanted to ask some questions of Gayla, and I'll do that on my own time. So with that, I'm going to open this up to the public. If there's anyone out in the public that would like to speak on any items that were discussed tonight, feel free, please.
I didn't bring my other hat, but
but I'm here as an individual speaking with these comments. I've had experience with a number of these departments sort of on the ground and where the rubber meets the road, so I'd like to just sort of provide you with my perceptions and what I've seen in the last year. First, starting with the fire department, you should be congratulated for what you've accomplished because it's a huge change. It's a needed change. The city has grown for years, but the fire department has, quite frankly, sort of fallen behind, and you've made a huge step forward. I think the consolidation is a good thing, and I think the fact that you're able to work something with Arroyo Grande is a good first step for maybe some other future kinds of endeavors where it's mutually beneficial. But quite frankly, you would have probably never gotten this deal unless you'd had something to bring to the table, and so you have some talent, some commitment, and I think you have potentially a very good deal for the city. You're saving administrative fees, which I think is what people are concerned about. Moving on to the police department, we've had some problems in Grover Beach. I have to say that the police have worked very hard to deal with those. They've been very, they've provided excellent service. I have to say that I've seen the police chief in the evening checking out my property on a couple different occasions, and this is later in the evening, 10, 11 o'clock at night. When we're out there, we've sort of run into each other. We almost caught one of the people, too, at one point. But the police department works very hard, and I really want to support that. I think Grover Beach is on the cusp of doing some really excellent things. I think you're seeing a lot of really nice projects. I know that you're actively out there seeking high-quality projects. The quality of those projects will depend on the quality of the service that you provide. And if you get some real serious players in here, they're going to look at what you have in place in the city, and they're going to have to make a judgment call as to whether you can get the job done, quite frankly. And if you're severely understaffed and your people are burned out and they can't return phone calls, people are going to consider that. Public Works just gets the job done every time. They're excellent. I can't say enough good things about all of them. The guys in the field are excellent. If there's a problem, they deal with it, and it's just great to work with these guys. I think we addressed the issue on planning. My understanding is we as builders are going to see a substantial hit across the board in permit and planning fees. We actually expect to see an improvement in service and see a much quicker turnaround, and time is money in our business. And if you raise these fees and you provide the service, I don't think you're going to hear a lot of complaints. Where you'll hear complaints is if you raise these fees and don't provide the service. That will really create some resentment, I would think, and certainly is avoidable because I think the money's there and it could be accomplished. I think that concludes my comments. I just want to say that I think that you guys do have a tough job. The six additional fire employees, I would encourage you not to penalize other departments because I think they've come up with some of their funding. Everybody's chipped in and done a team effort here. And I hate to see people penalized for team playing because I think playing as a team is really a laudable thing to do. And I also don't want you to back off on too many of your goals because you set some excellent goals. And it's okay to be a little ambitious. I think you should have some confidence in your city, confidence in the future and what it holds for this city because I'll tell you, I have my money here, I have my business here, and I think you're going to see more and more people doing that. And kind of take that into consideration when you're thinking about the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else in the audience that has anything to say on this budget?
Johnny Weissong, 1660 Brighton. I don't know where the proper place is, but I'd like to have some money spent on Oak Park after it's completed, just like you did here on Grand Avenue to calm traffic. When that's completed, that's going to be the Indianapolis 500. And I was talking to a gentleman back here on Mesa Market out there, Highway 1, Halcyon. They're putting in stoplights. The old one is still hanging there. It's a flashing red light. And we were talking back there, maybe if the proper person from the city could contact Caltrans, who I think is people that's doing it, to own it, you might get it for nothing, and after the project is completed, you could put it up there on Saratoga or even Brighton. My street is completely out of order right now. I can't get out. I want to go out my back door to 16th. And for the last 2 weeks, I would take a member of my family to Sierra Vista every morning. It's got six more weeks to go. And I've had to take these streets up here. I have three different vehicles. And my wife has said, let's go Grand Avenue 4th. Because they're so rough. They're just terrible. And I found out now what those streets are really like, because I've always taken main arteries. So you're not, you know, you can go way back to these people up here. And you two remember it well. We always had money set aside for streets, but we never got it done. Yeah, you're getting some done. But, you know, some of these streets, like I told her this morning, are 50 years old. Because I've been here 50 almost. And it's a shame that we have a city that when you come in, it looks great. But it's like a house I was in down in Santa Maria the other day. Front yard, painted house. You walked in, holes in the wall. Plumbing was shot. It kind of reminds me of going across the upper edge up here. And, you know, being a veteran, just celebrating Veterans Day last week, I think I have a right for the freedom of speech. And as I've said before, constructive criticism doesn't hurt anybody. The problem is the damn truth hurts. What these two gentlemen did is only voicing opinion for some people out here that are scared to come up here. And I told you about that. A lady in a hospital a couple months ago said that she was glad that somebody could come up here and say something to you people about the situation, because they're scared to death. They're afraid. They'd have a heart attack. And both of you remember a few years ago, we've been in the red twice in this town, right? And we almost went in the third time, didn't we? So you see what these people out here, they're wondering, what are you going to do? And when I started to work in the 50s for this big outfit that was all over the world at that time, and I started as management in the meat department, the number one thing was salary percent. And boy, they shoved it down your throat. Because that was the only way to keep the doors open. You don't have to worry about that, because you've got these contractors and these developers, they're bringing in barrels of money, so I've been told. But the best thing you did was get the fire department one. Because the chief of police told me several times, we have the best neighborhood up there. We don't have to patrol your area. We don't have to have the people come up there and check. But now then, after a few incidents up there, we need patrol. We need patrol. And the fire department has come up there several times for people in bad situations. I never checked it out, but I know. So all I'm going to say is I don't have a degree in finance, but I know the business I'm in has been tough because I've been in a roller coaster. And it's no picnic. But I've never defaulted. I've never went bankrupt, and I'll never forget the day my grandfather, 1933, was a farmer, a brick mason, and president of the bank, and on April 1933, they called and said, close the bank, there's no money here. I've been through thick and thin on the strike. I remember in the 80s and 90s, 12 to 18% interest. Does history repeat itself, or does it? I don't know.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak?
Oh, I told you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll bring it back to council.
Do we need a motion or to go to the 16th, or are we good?
We'll just continue this, right? We continue this to the 16th. 6:30. Okay. Is there nothing else then in this meeting? Yes, sir?
I was just wondering if we've what kind of questions the staff might have of a lot of the things that we've said tonight.
I think he asked them, didn't he?
Well, there's been some issues over how we're going to delete a few more positions or something. That's not unanimous support there. And And I know that we're going to meet again on the 16th, but I thought that it was going to be with a full council, but not a whole lot of discussion, because that night is going to be our fee structure meeting. But are we going to go back over a lot of these comments again? I guess that's my main question is, what's going to happen on the 16th related to the budget?
Well, maybe if I can staff, maybe okay. You can give us an idea of what the fees, how long would you anticipate? I know that's a hard one. Get your crystal ball out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did show you that chart that I put together.
So if this council doesn't ask too many questions.
It seems to me that the amount of time that will take would probably be governed by how many people in the community might show up to either support or question the need for fee increases. We have discussed it three different times in front of the city council in effect, folks have had an opportunity in that regard. We have had numerous Blue Ribbon Committee meetings that were all open to the public. It's hard to anticipate whether there would be a lot of folks that would be wanting to discuss. I think the staff report basically would just be to say, we had Blue Ribbon Committee meetings. You gave us direction to bring this back to you. Here it is.
Recommendations from the Blue Ribbon Committee.
That wasn't really my concern. I understand that part. I was talking about on the budget issues. Mm-hmm. Are you going to listen to the comments tonight, come back with some proposal to reduce two more positions in the city?
If I understand what Mayor Pro Tem Scholz was saying, and what Councilmember Lieberman was saying is that they wanted to see 68 permanent full-time positions as opposed to 71, which is a reduction of three positions from where we are now. Some of those things we might be able to cover with consulting hours. They would probably be for higher dollar amounts in order to cover the same amount of time, and or we can come back with proposal for reducing positions in the police department and what the impact would be or things like that.
We're stirring up a real issue here, and everybody's going to start getting a little nervous, and I'm not sure that was the direction of the majority of the council to even start that route.
And I guess I was sort of asking the first question of staff to kind of gauge how much time we might have to discuss this further on the 16th. Mm-hmm. I think that's what, in my mind, I was trying to figure out. Because
that was the question I was trying to answer.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, because I think we've all stated some concerns, but we really haven't reached any consensus on anything. So,
and one member's been missing through most of the discussion.
So we may have to do this again on the 16th.
Well, that's okay, but are you expecting staff to come back with a staff report that says, well, we can cut two out of the police and one out of a building and not do these others? And I think we should.
No, to answer your question, I'm not expecting them to come back with that. I'm expecting to go down the rest of my list on the 16th. Okay. So I'm not expecting them to come back and say we've solved everybody's concerns, because obviously we work in tandem here. We have to get three votes to reach consensus. So.
But we've had one council member who hasn't been here through the last two, we had one that had to leave. So I don't think we can say we've worked in tandem.
Well, I'm just saying when we get to that point, we're going to have to give them some clear direction that comes from a majority, and we haven't done that.
Because I had some concerns about when I asked Mike point blank the need for the maintenance worker. To me, that it's an important position in my estimation.
Well, let's talk about that. Somebody's been out injured for the last year or something. It's been vacant for, I don't know.
Since September of 2002.
Mm-hmm. Year and a half. I mean, it's not something that we're taking away. It's something that's been a vacant position for a year and a half, and maybe it's been a struggle, but they're strong team players, and they haven't been It's not somebody we're throwing out on the street. I mean, this is a position that has been basically vacant for a year and a half. I think that makes a significant difference in the need for it, especially when we have department heads saying that we desperately need this other project manager position or this planning mm-hmm. position or something, and I'm willing to give this one up. I don't see that as something that we should be micromanaging, like you said.
Well, you're trying gonna not to.
Well, but you're telling them, get rid of a couple more positions somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no. See,
come back and contract that out at higher dollars.
The distinction that I made was that, like I said, I may disagree with the community development director philosophically because I think he does need a strong planning person because he's got two interns, an assistant planner who I don't even know if she's even graduated from college yet, and himself. So if I was in this position, if you asked me the question of do you want a planning manager or a project manager, I would have definitely said a planning manager. But I'm not willing to go on record to tell him what to do. If he's telling me and he honestly believes it and he's going to be accountable that that's the direction he wants to go, then I'm fine with that. So, you know, I said I was only going to micromanage a little. I think I didn't go far enough and say do this.
You're still a rookie.
What? I'm not a rookie. I've been doing city planning for almost 20 years now. I'm not a rookie.
I got you beat by a little bit. But again, when they told me if I had to choose between the two, from the way the organization was structured right now and the experience base that we have, there's no question that the project manager is the more important position. Mayor Pro Tem Scholes is absolutely right. There's no reason why we can't have both of them because, as we explained to the city council during the budget processes, the planning manager is a zero impact upon the general fund. And so there's no reason other than a perception issue why we can't do both. And you're right, Mayor Pro Tem, is that I want both of them. You know, the bottom line, to make my life much more manageable, make the department much more manageable, I need both of those positions. And Mr. Ford is absolutely right. He was very upset with me for making that trade-off between the maintenance worker and the project manager. But for the better of the organization and to ensure that we're going to be able to do it financially correct and manage it properly, those two positions are real critical for this city. As Tom had indicated to the city council, is that we're on the verge of doing many different things. We have some very outstanding goals that I believe we can accomplish that if you provide the resources for us to do that. So it wasn't, say, Jake, you have to choose. He said, if you had to choose one, which one would you take? And, of course, I will take the project manager. But there's no reason in the world, based upon this budget that's presented, why you can't provide both of them. So I'll sit down and be quiet now.
Perhaps perhaps a way for the council to look at no increase or the concept of no increase of staffing in order to take on the fire department. I think if we look at the budget in terms of general funded positions and where we are in this current year budget and where we would be in next year budget, I don't think there's an increase in the number of general funded positions because part of what we did was we moved over four staff years out of the general fund into building and planning. If you want to look at it in terms of the impact on the general fund, which is, I think, the issue that Councilmember Lieberman is really talking about because he mentioned the state and the impact of the state. The impact of the state is not on any other fund in the city other than the general fund. And in that sense, the staffing in this general fund is essentially the same this year as it would be next year because we have a lot of different moving parts that are going. And, you know, I think the chief and I sat down quite a while ago and tried to figure out how would we fund a full-time fire department. And when we were looking at it and when he presented that to you, we were out by $145,000. But we hadn't put the budget together yet. And the whole management team came together to try to figure out how to do that and to achieve the goals that you set for us and to do it within the financial policies. And we managed to do that as an organization to try to do that. And, yeah, there are some areas where we're doing some belt tightening that may not be comfortable. But by the same token, if the governor pulls off what he's trying to do 2 years from now, we will be just fine. And we will, what we are primarily doing is cutting back $120,000 in major or in local street paving in order to create this budget. We're doing that this year and next year. We're going to get $240,000 2 years from now, which we theoretically could turn around and put on the streets and get caught up. All the rest of the elements of the budget are in balance. They're in harmony. They are. There is no structural imbalance, particularly if we can address the issue with regard to stormwater and how that's funded. And further, we will be continuing to get loan repayments to the general fund from the improvement agency, which will further buoy the general fund over the next several years as those resources come in. So.
Now, if, big if, the governor, if we do not get that money back in 2 years, what then?
Well, if the governor pulls off the deal, and if it goes before the voters, and if the voters of the state approve it, that's an obligation that the state has that's in the state constitution. And if the state doesn't honor that, they will eventually have to do that. And if you'll notice, we still have more than $300,000 appropriated for local street paving this year. We'll have at least $300,000 probably again next year, $180,000 of which would be general fund. So.
Okay. And then just one other quick question. There was a comment tonight about the city going bankrupt. There was only one time that I remember. Am I correct, David?
We actually borrowed money. Right?
We borrowed money. Yeah. Other than that, that was only the one time. So, okay. With that, the meeting's adjourned till the 16th.
Good job.